Good morning. Our text for today was today's gospel that was read, especially these words in John chapter 3, verses 16 and following. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever believes by truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, I'll find myself making assumptions about people. A lot of them have to do with when I'm driving my car. I'll make assumptions about people depending on the car they drive, especially if like a Subaru. And if you drive a Subaru, hey, you know, not that my assumptions are true, but you know, the Subaru commercials have a lot to do with this. You know, it says, I think the ad is, you know, Subaru made with love or something like that. And it's like, you know, it doesn't talk about torque or, you know, cranking or the miles per gallon or anything. It's just, you know, made with love. Then again, my in-laws drive a Subaru. So, I mean, they are hardly that type of person, you know. I mean, one of the commercials has, a blind man, you know, leading a couple, you know, hipsters out in the countryside. It's just, you know, it's all feel-good stuff. But I make that assumption, you know, because when I see a Subaru, especially when I see a Subaru that has the coexist bumper sticker, immediately I make assumptions on who that person is, on what that person looks like, on who that person votes for, on all these things. And it's horrible that I do that. But I do it from the other side, too. So if I see a bumper sticker on a, you know, Ford F-350 and it says John 3:16, I make an assumption as well. That this guy is conservative, that this guy is a Christian, that, you know, I make all kinds of untoward assumptions. And that's unfortunate. People got to see, get to know that John 3:16 a lot when I was growing up. There was one guy in particular that would show up at all the sporting events. And you can remember him because I think he wore like jean overalls and a rainbow wig, big one. And he'd always find himself in the end zone or somewhere where he held up the John 3:16 sign. And I always made assumptions about this guy. Yeah, great guy, great Christian. Well, a friend of mine actually met him at the Olympics in Canada, I think in the 80s or something. And the guy is just was a real jerk. And I think now the guy's in prison. So, you know, again, those assumptions don't always hold true. Then again, you see that holding up that John 3:16 sign. For Christians, they immediately know what it is, and does it really do a lot of good for people who don't know the Bible? It's just, it's become just a signifier of who you are and an opportunity for people to prejudge. And that's unfortunate because John 3:16, as Martin Luther said, is the gospel in miniature, or people will say the gospel in a nutshell. Okay, it's just, it encapsulates the entire gospel for us in such a beautiful and an incredibly profound way. It shows us what God's love is all about. Now, as you heard earlier in the reading of the gospel, what precedes this, John 3:16 and following, is Nicodemus coming to meet Jesus. And it's interesting, Nicodemus is a Pharisee. And as such, he comes to Jesus at night. It also turns out that he's a member of the Sanhedrin, all right? So he's an important Pharisee. But he comes to Jesus at night, and that tells us he doesn't want anybody to know he's doing this, all right? But he also calls Jesus rabbi, in other words. He calls Jesus, he says, you are my teacher. He has respect for Jesus. He sees something important in Jesus. And then Jesus just begins speaking in this incredibly enigmatic way that, I mean, Nicodemus couldn't possibly understand. You must be born again. Again, nowadays, when we hear those words, we, you know, just fill it with theological cargo that we are used to, right? But born again of the Spirit, born again of the water and the Word. But when you hear that the first time, you have to be born again. It's no doubt that Nicodemus says, what are you talking about, right? So he has no idea And then finally, we come to the words John 16 through 21. Now, what's interesting about this is if you look at different translations, different versions of this in the Bible, you will see that some of these, John 16 through 21, are in red letters and some are not. Some of these versions have the words in quotation marks and some of them not. In other words, Greek does not have quotation marks. We don't know if John 3:16 through 21 was spoken by Jesus to Nicodemus at the end of their little exchange here, or if this is a commentary of the gospel writer John about who Jesus is. Well, either way, the impact of these words 16 through 21 are just huge. They have a huge impact because they talk about who God is and the nature of God. Sometimes we assume God's nature is that of a vengeful, angry God, that he is coming to judge. It begins with the most powerful words, for God so loved the world. The Greek word used there for world is cosmos. And all throughout John, whenever John uses that word, cosmos, for world, it's something that is opposed to who Jesus is and what Jesus teaches and what Jesus came to do. And so what it says here is God so loved this world of opposition to Jesus that he sent his one and only son. The key is here judgment. I mean, it does talk about this in the text, right? For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Okay? So there is judgment there. But the important thing is this, that God's not the one judging. The judgment comes from the people. You got to hear this very carefully. It doesn't say God came in here and looked at these people and says, boom, you're guilty, and boom, you're not. That's not what he does. God sends his son, and that brings light, and that is judged by people. He says here, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of the light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. In other words, what condemns people is the judgment they've made about God's one and only son. So we shouldn't be afraid about an angry God coming to judge us. We should be afraid about ourselves, about our sin, and about the bad choices we make. Are we going to walk in the light, or are we going to slink back into the darkness? We know what our human nature will always lead us towards, and that is the darkness. What's interesting here is the good news is seen clearly in the entire life of Nicodemus. Here we see Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night, and after having this exchange with Jesus, whether he heard 16 through 21 or not, still he left Jesus in that darkness, physically, spiritually, mentally. He didn't really know what was going on. But that is not the last chapter of Nicodemus, because we find him at the very end of Jesus' life, after Jesus has died on a cross. And this is where Nicodemus has seen what Jesus said to him all those years before fulfilled, where he talked about being lifted up. As the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so I will be lifted up. Right? Now he's seen that happen, actually, literally, with Jesus being lifted up on the cross. And what does he do? He honors Jesus. He honors Jesus by burying him and paying for a lot of the spices and the unguents and all this stuff to prepare Jesus properly for his funeral. And then what had happened? A few days later, he walked in, not the darkness anymore. He walked in the light. And the light is what? It's Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the day of light that for all of us, whether Jesus spoke these words or John speak these words about Jesus, it doesn't matter. Because it talks about a God whose love is so great for a world opposed to him that he sent his son. We can give thanks that that son came to us and has given us the faith to see his love, to see his presence in our life, to see that he is the light that shines on us this day and always. What a wonderful thing that God saved us from the judgment we would have made, and instead in his son now judges us not guilty. Judges us loved, judges us his children, and judges us as people who have an eternal inheritance in heaven. I pray that God bless you this day as you live in that light, the light of Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate sign of the love of a God that is in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.